What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. You can hear John Landecker Monday through Thursday on WGN Radio in Chicago. He is also on Hoppy Hour right now. What's going on, John?
Well, you can hear me on WGN Radio in Chicago when I'm not preempted by the Chicago Blackhawks or Northwestern basketball. But all that will clear by the time the season's over.
How is that? And then it'll
being preempted?
Yeah. How? Because I've wanted to know, because there's been shows over the years that I liked listening to, like Lawrence Holmes on 670 back in the day, and he would get preempted. So for you, a guy that's been in the radio game for a while, does it annoy you, or are you okay with it?
Oh, I'm okay with it. I mean, for instance, today, I guess no one needs to know exactly what day this is since it's a podcast, but there is a Northwestern basketball game, and the pregame starts at 7:45, and I'll be working tonight for 45 minutes, basically. Or not basically, that's exactly what it is, from 7 to 7:45. But then there are other nights where there aren't any sports on, and I do a full show. And, you know, they don't, hockey isn't a year-round sport, nor is college basketball, so... and WGN no longer carries any baseball.
Yeah.
So that means when springtime comes and the summer's rolling along, I'm in almost every night for the full shot. No, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I'm just really happy to be at WGN. So it just sort of comes with the territory.
So over the years, you've done music radio and you've done talk radio. Which format do you like better?
Well, the current state of the way things are in the broadcast world today, I wouldn't do a music format.
Yeah.
It's too confining. It's possibly voice tracked or pre-recorded. But, you know, you're talking a long, long time ago, music formats. When I was coming into radio, sure, because they were fun. You got to be a personality. There was a lot going on. But now, that's not true, except perhaps if you do a morning show on a music station. So talk radio is for me the way to go. But then I find myself, okay, well, what kind of talk radio? I don't want to come on and be a left or right wing ideologue. I don't want to be controversial. I don't want to piss people off. So when I came on WGN, it was in the middle of the, well, it was just as the pandemic was ramping up. And there was a lot of divisive rhetoric going on, and I specifically went on the air and said, look, I'm going to call this the John Landecker Radio Oasis. We're not going to do any of that. So I do, I don't know what you want to call it, fun personality talk radio. I do interviews with people who aren't of a controversial nature, more of a fun or local or lifestyle,
yeah,
that kind of thing, and I try to, for lack of a better term, entertain with bits or telephone calls, or, you know, it's just that it's not a music station.
Yeah.
Although the interesting thing about it is that I found out, and this is sort of, I think this is sort of fun, is that, and you know this, that to play music on the radio, you have to pay for licensing fees. And WGN is an AM radio station that does not play music. So if you were to play a full song of anything, it would be copyright violation. However, according to the laws of the land, you can play 60 seconds of anything before you cross into that copyright infringement zone. So I've made goofy 60-second versions of songs and played them on occasion. And that's sort of a fun way to get around the rules, especially if you're explaining to people who are listening why you're doing it this way. I mean, it's not a regular thing, but it's something there to go to if I want to. And WGN has a, I think, a really good attitude. And Sean Compton, who's running the whole place for Nexstar Media, asked me a couple of years ago if I wanted to do a music show on New Year's Eve. And I said, well, yeah, sure. So they paid for it. This year they paid for 5 hours. This past New Year's, I don't know how much that cost, but it's not cheap. When you're not a music station and you're a big station in a big town. And the year before it was on a Thursday night, and that was like 3 hours, and he's already asked me, do I want to do it again at the end of this year? I said, sure. Now, say WLS, the AM station, is a talk station, but the FM 94.7 is a, what do they call it now, a classic hit station. So they have music licensing built in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like WLS AM could play any music they wanted to because they already have the rights in the building due to their FM. But WGN is a standalone AM, and that's the way I like it.
What is the overall vibe of working at WGN in 2022?
Awesome. First of all, the station itself is the Ritz-Carlton or the Four Seasons or the Peninsula, or it is the Taj Mahal of any radio station that I've ever been in. And I mean that not just the control room and the equipment, I mean the entire layout is just spectacular. And they get it, so to speak. There's a 24-hour news department. There's sports people. There's traffic people. There's engineering. There's promotion. There's sales. There's the whole nine yards. And it's not a confrontational talk radio station, so there's no bickering, yeah, so to speak. And everybody likes one another, so it's great.
I remember like 8 or 9 years ago, I went there for an interview to potentially intern with Jonathan Brandmeier. I didn't end up getting it, but I went there and I met Johnny B. So I got to see like WGN, and it's like, you were right. It's like royalty because I've been to other places, and it's so nice.
I think that's the old studio. Wasn't that in the Tribune Tower?
Yeah.
No, they've moved.
Oh, wow.
This is, oh yeah. This is all, let's say, brand new. It's at the 323 East Wacker.
Yeah.
Which you might, that doesn't mean anything to anybody, except maybe you'll understand that, yeah, or people who are familiar with the Chicago geography. And the studios, the station's on the 18th floor.
Okay.
And the main control room, which is one of four control rooms, maybe?
Yeah.
Plus two or three production rooms, overlooks Lake Michigan and Navy Pier. And it is astounding. Just astounding.
Would you say when you're in a nice setup like WGN Radio that it kind of motivates you to do like a better show? Like, do you feel like your shows are better when it's a nice place compared to if you were doing it in just some random production room?
I think so. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it still depends on the people you're working with and what kind of management it is. I mean,
oh yeah,
good equipment's not going to make up for a lousy boss. But, it certainly is impressive to people when they walk in, if you have guests or things of that nature. And I always like a good-looking station.
Yes.
Always have.
So I interviewed Don Geronimo 2 weeks ago, and he talked about how there was a talk. Yeah, he was saying that you motivated him to go from WLS-FM in the 80s to then go for his own dream and to get his own brand going. And then when I put up this post about you calling into the show, my cousin who did radio 50 years ago in Iowa commented how you are a legend. Then I had people that work in radio that liked the post. You're very much a legend. You're very much influential. You have people that call into your show at night and say all these memories. How does all of that feel, knowing that you're one of the originals, you're one of the all-time greats? Because to me, as a listener, as a person outside looking in, you have a very humble attitude about it.
I hope so. I guess that I'm humbled, I'm flattered, I'm a little amazed. I really don't have much more to say about it than that, other than, you know, when this quote-unquote whatever legendary thing that you're talking about was forming, it was with a bunch of other people, not only on the air, but behind the scenes. So it was the result of being on a really, it was the result of being a part of a really great team for most of it. And, you know, I've had some really bad stretches of radio in this quote-unquote legendary career.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I've had some really good years, and I've had some really horrible years. But along the way, I guess somebody decided, oh, he's a legend. So
yes,
somebody printed it, and, you know, once you see it in print, everybody runs with it. If it's on the internet, it must be true, you know, that kind of thing.
It sort of goes to me, I don't know this for sure, you've worked in radio in Chicago, but it seems like whatever Robert Feeder says, people go with. So if he calls you a legend, everybody's going to say you're amazing, but then he'll go after another radio person that he doesn't like, and then the whole comment section says that person sucks. You know what I mean?
Don't believe everything you read, and certainly not the comment section.
Oh, comment. Yeah.
Hello. Comment section. He'll tell me, oh, the same thing will happen if he says John Landecker is a legend, and then you go down to the comment section and the people are like, screw you, he's horrible, I hated him, I never listened to that guy, is he still alive, why is he still, I mean, why bother? You'll drive yourself crazy.
Oh yeah.
If you fall into that. And I think Robert's a good guy, and, you know, he calls it as he sees it. So,
well,
there's really enough. That's all you can ask.
Well, haters and people hating on you is fascinating, because I get my share of it working in Tampa radio, but it used to really bother me. Like, I would have panic attacks coming home about it, and I'm being sincere. It would bother me. And then I had this epiphany where I was like, in the age of TikTok and all the mobile apps and radio, TV, Netflix, if you're talking about me or people are talking about you in the age where there's so much competition media-wise, love or hate, that's a win, because they're talking about you, they're spending their time typing about you, so that means you won.
That's a good way of looking at it. There was an old, long before social media, there was some slang expression or some axiom, I don't care what you say about me as long as you spell my name correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. However, you know, you're for people who are in a business where you're being evaluated either by other people or by ratings, hitching your identity to what others say about you or how well your ratings are is a huge trap. And I've done it, so I know what I'm talking about. I mean, I've been at radio stations where 1 month the ratings were good and everybody was fantastic. Next month, you've done absolutely nothing differently. You're doing exactly the same thing. And the ratings go down and people turn into, not monsters, but their attitude takes a huge change. And who can live like that? And I lived like that for a while. you know. And by a while, I mean a few years.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what it was that occurred to me, but this epiphany, perhaps the word you use, is like, what am I doing? I don't care about, why am I, this isn't who I am. And I had no control, none whatsoever, over how these things are going to turn out.
Well,
so why bother? Just show up,
yeah,
do the best job you can, entertain yourself. If you're happy with your work, you like the people you work with, that's enough. Because ratings are going to come and go, and the more social media there is, the more there's going to be critical comments from people who have haven't a clue about anything. But they can get on social media and you see it. And getting caught in that trap's a big mistake. So you made a wise choice there not to let it get under your skin.
And then here's what would happen to me is I would then bring it home. And,
oh, yeah.
And then I'd be in a grumpy mood. And then my girlfriend's sure. So then I'm like, why am I letting this job that could replace me tomorrow and find somebody else to do it? Why am I letting that bother me? Like, I have the same girlfriend, I have the same cat, same apartment. Like, that to me is what is important. And I just thought about that recently. I'm like, I was having dreams about my job and then waking up and then going to my job and then wondering if I did good or not and then going to bed and doing the same thing. And it was probably the last like 3 months. I was just like, this is insane. Like, I'm never not thinking about radio. So now I put my phone in the other room. I'm watching more TV shows, watching more basketball. Like, I'm trying to like find things just besides radio because it, for me, it was driving me insane.
Well, Ryan, I don't know if you're ever really going to get beyond thinking about radio, because yes. I'm not saying I don't think about radio.
Yeah.
That's either a blessing or a curse.
Yeah.
Depending on how you deal with it. But the idea that you let it affect yourself to the extent that you don't intend to take it out on others. It's just that it preoccupies your being to the extent that you really can't help it. Although in the long run, you do have to help it because it doesn't make any difference in the long run. I mean, you want to do it, like I'm repeating myself now, but you know, you want to do a good job and that's about it. But the idea of turning my brain off and being able to totally turn off the radio part of my brain is impossible.
Yeah.
Because I'll do exactly what you're talking about. Well, I'm going to go watch a movie or something. I'm like, hey, that'd be a great bit. I don't know.
God,
or there's
yes.
a, you know, and that's, excuse me, that's the way it works. That is exactly the way it works.
And I notice when I leave my phone in the other room, like when I wasn't looking at my phone and I was completely focused on the Super Bowl, when I went on air the next day, I had like 10 points that I wrote down in a Google Docs document. And I didn't even get to any of my prep because it's like when you're not on your phone and you're more in the moment, just like you said, you're like, oh, that'd be a good bit or that'd be a good phone topic. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Because I'm a very different generation, but for me, like, I'm sure you had a version of social media that you would obsess over. I guess it would be the ratings. For me, for a minute there, I was just looking at my numbers. How many people viewed this? How many people viewed that? And it was just like, why am I doing this? So now I'm not saying I don't care because I want to have everybody view it, but it doesn't represent me. You know what I mean? Like Ryan Hoppe.
Well, not only that,
yeah,
but it gets away from the reason that you're there to begin with.
Yes.
I'm not hired. I mean, I think it's very difficult for, well, it would be difficult for me. Maybe it's not difficult for people who are, you know, just starting out in whatever industry that they're in because they're so accustomed to having social media around them since they've been born. But, and I see an occasional want ad looking for a radio station, looking for somebody. We need somebody to be the morning show assistant music director,
yeah,
content creator, manager of the website, and be proficient in XYZ PDQ, all in one person.
Yes.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? to me, that, although it's something you got to live with, I think it dilutes the product that you're originally starting with. Pay attention to that some more. This is a hypothetical conversation. You know, get somebody else to do those other things, because you're forgetting about the reason that you're there. And that's to do either, I don't know, whatever it is, a TV show, a radio show, whatever. And the more time you spend away from your prime gig, so to speak, the more diluted your attention span is.
Well,
in my opinion.
Yes.
So I do a minimum of social media, but I don't obsess over it. And like, I've got somebody coming on tonight, who's already on social media talking about it.
Yeah.
So I'll let him do it. You know, I mean, it's okay.
Well, I notice working in radio and seeing things that a lot of times when those job ads have like five different jobs, that's not all the jobs you're doing, because then they're going to see that you're willing to do anything for one person's pay when you should be paid for four different jobs. And then what happens is they go, this person really wants to be in radio. And then the PD and the music director and the operations manager go, hey, this dude that just applied for five jobs for one person's pay, let's have him do this. Like, those jobs are dangerous.
You hit the nail right on the head.
I see it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
What is the biggest, and I know you probably get asked this all the time, but I'll ask you, what's the biggest change with when you first got into radio and now? Like, the first thing, maybe like an underrated thing, because everyone's going to say the music or the pay, but what's one thing that is truly different about radio?
Well, there isn't just one thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, time marches on. So when I first came in the radio, there weren't as many radio stations, period. Second of all, FM was not a popular band, so to speak. It was not being utilized, although it was there. So there was maybe, since I was in top 40 rock radio, so I come into Chicago, there were basically two AM radio stations that were competing for that audience. Now, there were FM stations, but they weren't a factor until the late 70s, early 80s, and then they became a big factor. So things started to, the playing field increased with the participants. So you were competing against a lot more than just one single competitor. And then in the mid-90s, the rules of the country were changed and allowed single corporations to own, I think, almost as many radio stations as they wanted. And that led to consolidation, which led to job elimination, which led to something called voice tracking, which eliminates the personality completely and allows one person in one city to record shows that are played on different stations around the country. And the personality aspect of it vanished. So that it's not about music. Music always changes. I mean, good Lord, I wouldn't expect, I didn't want to hear what my parents listened to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a normal thing. That's going to happen. But the way it's delivered, the technology, all the things around it, the way ownership was changed, over time, that's an ongoing change. But I don't think there's one single change that I think that started the brutal downhill descent of radio was that law that allowed consolidation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wasn't that because of Bill Clinton? Wasn't he the one to pass that?
Well, he was the president at the time. I don't know exactly what the... there must have been a very strong lobby from the... whoever it is that represents radio owners. I don't know. He was, he was the president when that was passed. I don't think anybody foresaw exactly how horrible that was going to turn out.
Yeah, and then didn't Janet Jackson's Nipplegate kind of like ruin things for more of the edgier shows?
Jesus, I hope not. That's the most ridiculous.
That's what I've heard.
That's the most ridiculous. Yeah. That's the most ridiculous controversy I've ever heard of in my life.
I swear.
I mean, no, I don't think it did anything except to give a lot of publicity to Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, and a bunch of people who wanted to bitch about it. But it certainly hasn't kept Nipples off the air, Ryan.
Oh, not at all. Because a lot of times the like shock jocks will say that the Janet Jackson Nipplegate, because there were so many fines to the TV network, whichever one that aired it, then the FCC got nervous about the like edgy morning shows from that time, and then they began making them be cleaner and not say what they want to say. Now, I don't know if that's just shock jocks in denial that nobody wanted to hear like a really mean shock jock anymore, or if there's some truth to that. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe I've never really pondered it that deeply, but maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It certainly didn't
help
eliminate people being assholes on the air.
Yeah.
And being complete jerks towards one another and saying horrible things about people. It might have cut back a little bit on the sex content.
Yes.
But, I never went down that road anyway, so it didn't do anything to me. I do know of some shows and some personalities that it affected in the long run, but that wasn't specifically the things that these other shows got in trouble for were way beyond anything like that. I mean, these are radio shows that allegedly had on the air, I say allegedly, the sound of people having sex in a church. Allegedly. You know, something like that. A guy playing the piano with his penis. Allegedly. It's radio. You can't see anything anyway. But as time went on, you know, there was more than three TV networks. And take a look now. Maybe this, you know, the over-the-air FCC-ruled broadcast channels can't have boundaries, but cable doesn't, and the internet doesn't, and podcasts don't, and satellite radio doesn't. So if you want something, there's somebody out there providing it for you if you can find it.
Yeah, I remember when I was growing up, like, if you missed a TV show, you missed it. You couldn't go to Hulu. And, like, it was the worst feeling ever. And then it was, like, the early 2010s, late 2000s, when Netflix and Hulu came out, that everything was solved. But I remember, like, I would miss, if I went to class or whatever, or, like, a class at night, I would miss, like, half a Lost or half a Prison Break. And there was literally nothing you could do because it was not on demand. But now you literally can get anything. It's insane.
Yes, it is. I think it's great.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
Now, before I let you go, John, when it's all said and done, how do you want people to remember you in radio and as a person?
Good question. Well, he was basically a nice guy who tried to do a good job. Wasn't perfect, but at least he gave his kids a great education.
I like that because I don't like when radio people perceive themselves as perfect. So I like a good radio person that can see that they have flaws. Like, I know I have flaws. That's why I'm in radio.
Oh my God, Ryan, please. I got more flaws than, there should be a joke there, but you know, everybody does. And you know, in this era that we're talking about a long, long time ago, when this quote unquote legend, quote unquote, occurred.
Yes.
I was with a bunch of people who were equally talented, and we were on a really popular radio station. And our prime directive was to, quote, make this radio station a tool for our amusement. And that's what counted. And if anybody had an ego, they were thrown the fuck out. Pardon my French.
It's all good.
You know, in fact, we even had a expression. That guy, TTFO'd, thrown the fuck out. I mean, it was just not allowed. You couldn't get away with crap like that. And I think that's why that particular radio station at that particular time was so successful.
And I like listening to old radio because I'm from Chicago, so I like the sound of it. And it just seemed like everything was like perfectly done. Like Larry Lujack in the morning was great. Middays were great. It just, everything sounded like you couldn't have painted a better picture of radio.
I agree totally.
Well, where can people find your current show?
All right. Well, WGN is an AM station that is on 720. It also is, you know, it's streaming. It's on every smart device. It has its own app. It's like everything else. You can get it on your phone. You can get it on your computer. If you want to try to listen to it on an AM radio, here's what's cool. This is what's cool. You're going to love this. So Sean Compton is our head honcho. And, I don't even think he's 40 years old. All right. So, but he gets it. And I told you that he asked if I wanted to do this music show on New Year's Eve. Right. And I said, sure. So, I did it once and everybody liked it. So I'm doing it again this past New Year's. And I get, one of the guys I'm working with says, hey, Sean's going to call you. And this is like, ooh. So it's at midnight, right? I'm done. And he calls me, goes, listen, it was great. I'll tell you what I did. I was tired of hearing it at home, off the computer, or the app or whatever it is. So I wanted to feel what it was like back in the day. So he got into his car up in like some ritzy North Shore of Chicago, went out into his car, turned on WGN AM at night, and just started driving around for like 2 hours just so he could try to pick up on, he wanted to get close to what it was like when you didn't have all these other ways to access the station. And I think that's just one of the coolest stories. I just love that.
I feel the same way whenever I visit home. I visit maybe every 2 to 3 years and I'll turn on everything. And there's just something about it coming from your radio and driving around the Chicagoland area that it just is different than listening on an app or online.
Well, yeah, but the fact that he would do this to an AM station is the thing that blew my mind. Because sure, you can drive around and listen to an FM station and it's not going to be that drastically different than hearing it on a smart device, but an AM signal?
Yeah.
That's a whole different kettle of fish.
That's called being very passionate. That's called caring about your job.
You better believe it.
Well, John, it's been an absolute honor having you on the show, and I hope you have a great show tonight on WGN Radio, and it's been a lot of fun having you on Happy Hour.
You're in Tampa Bay, right?
Yes, sir.
So what do you hear about Brady? Is he really retired or no?
I think he's actually done, but I think it's because he's having marriage problems with Giselle.
What?
Yeah, that's the rumor, is that he was for like too much of his kids' lives. This is alleged that like he's been just playing football and not there 100% of the time, so that he's been having kind of like not awful marriage issues with Giselle, but like he needs to be around more is what I've heard, because I don't think he wanted to retire. I don't.
Well, I can certainly say, you know, I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan. My father was a professor at the University of Michigan. I went to University of Michigan High School. And I've been a Tom Brady fan since he was in college. And and I know he's, you don't want to see a person that's got a ton of haters. Woof.
Yeah.
If that's the way he went out, being one field goal short of moving on to the Super Bowl, wow. A year after taking Tampa Bay to the Super Bowl and winning it?
Yeah.
When nobody thought he could do that in his 40s? Oh, my God.
And if that was a Patriots team, John, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but if that was a Patriots team, yeah, that whole Cooper Kupp bomb, that wouldn't happen. That's because our secondary, I say our like I'm a fan, I'm a Bears fan, but the secondary of the Buccaneers is so awful. That should not have happened. But also, I don't know. It feels like the Rams got lucky the whole time, but they're the winners of the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of both. First of all, there was this... Now we're doing sports talk, but I don't care. So, there was this touchdown, and you know what I'm talking about, for Cincinnati, where there was an obvious face mask pass interference by the receiver on the L.A. safety. He actually turned his head around, got in front of him, and caught the ball and ran for a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the refs didn't call it. However, and then later there's this idiot from Cincinnati who runs onto the field to celebrate a touchdown, and he's not dressed for the game.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting that.
Which was the dumbest, most ignorant, and then they get a penalty. However, towards the end of the game, as LA is getting close to scoring, all of a sudden this rash of pass interference calls come out of nowhere. Even to the extent that one of the commentators go, wow, that looked pretty ticky-tacky to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to say that they wouldn't have scored, but, you know. And then I saw this on social media on one of the key fourth down plays or whatever it was for Cincinnati, that really fantastic defensive lineman for L.A. was offside, but they didn't call it. He lined up in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
His head is sticking into the neutral zone, and that's a penalty, as anybody knows, which would have given Cincinnati a first down. So who cares? I mean, it was a really good game, and it was the end of a string of unbelievable games, one right after the other. So, and I think that, you know, Cincinnati will be back. They're young.
It's weird. For the first time ever, I'm so glad football's over. I need a break. It's just been so much this year. The one the Super Bowl ended in the past, John, I would have been sad. Now I'm like, I need 7 months off.
Oh, and also I'm really happy for Stafford.
Yes, of
because
course.
Because that guy suffered with the Detroit Lions for 13 years.
Oh, yeah.
And he was always great. And they always sucked.
Yeah.
And he did what he went out there to do. And what he was brought out to do, and now he, you know, he's got the ring, and that's a great story too. So I take nothing away from them at all. I enjoyed all of it.
Well, John, it's been a blast having you on the show. I appreciate you taking the time to call in.
Sure.
And keep up the
Anytime.
Good work.
Thank you, Ryan. Always good to talk to you.
Awesome. Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. And that was Chicago radio legend John Landecker as he called into Happy Hour. Now, if you're listening and you want to hear more of my show, I do a news talk segment where I rant about celebrity news because I'm not going to rant about politics and sports. I know you are already listening, but go to every single major platform. Tune in, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Mixcloud, Spreaker, and search Happy Radio.
Happy Hour. Happy Hour.